We'll begin with questions or any doubts or uncertainties you might have.
There was one sentence I was wondering. It says, all things are created by your own awareness. Is that what you mean when you say that everything is independent, has no independent origin?
Uh-huh.
That is...
Yes.
So this word, you are, that puzzles me a little bit.
What about it?
It was a little similar to yesterday. I was wondering about this I,
uh-huh,
in relation to emotions.
Uh-huh.
I can't really see where does it, like, I can see by convention that it's I here because it's for practical purposes. But where does it really stop? Like, there's no really boundary to it. And then you say, couldn't this sentence just be without the your? Couldn't it be all things are created by awareness? Is a your important there?
It's very important there.
Okay. Could you please explain that?
Well, especially these days, there's a lot of very contrived language around awareness and like a non-doer type language that never uses I or any personal pronouns, but that's completely forced and contrived. Everything is included in awareness, your, I, everything. And so you see, that's very important. It's very important. There isn't any boundary anywhere. I is synonymous with awareness. There is no other I, nor has there ever been. They're interchangeable, I and awareness. Damien?
I think it's fairly easy to see that awareness is sovereign as perception, but it's the next step to the creator, which is difficult to see.
That awareness is all creating?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We learn that we generate our own awareness or consciousness. And we learn, most of us in the West, that we don't have anything to do with creation, that we're under the thumb of creation or a creator. And even ideas about evolution are very close to creationism, because they say really that we're at the whim of evolution. So these are just more systems that try to explain what can't be explained. And the key error is in stating that we generate our own consciousness or awareness, when it's in fact space that is aware, it's space that is conscious. And so you see, this is why sometimes it's such an intellectual hurdle, a mental hurdle, or emotional hurdle to relax from this identity of thinking that we generated all of ourselves and our awareness or consciousness to being wide open like infinite space. However, it's key to really realizing that everything is within awareness. Awareness and space are inseparable. They're completely inseparable. Wherever space is, awareness is. And everything is comprised of space. Thus, everything is comprised of awareness. And I often use the example of a linear particle accelerator, that anything can be put in a particle accelerator. And it's seen that there's nothing there but space. So we could take anything, Mount Everest, if we could fit it in a particle accelerator, it would be nothing but space. So things that look very solid and concrete they're really comprised of space. And when we use terms to describe different things, there's really never any fixed thing that a term describes. Like if we use the term mountain, where is the mountain actually? Is it in a pebble? Is it in the grasses and trees covering the hillside? Where exactly is it? Or if we look at ourselves and we look for the I or all the personal pronouns, we'd have to be able to find a place where that's located. We'd have to find a place where the I is located, or where the idea of a personal identity is located. But when that's looked into, that can't be found either. Nor can a location of awareness or consciousness. All we can come up with are a lot of systems to try to describe what's going on. And these days, those fall within creationism and evolution, pretty much.
This morning, when we were talking about stories, you asked me if I had any favorite stories, like emotional such. And in the end, I said that no. Not really. I felt quite good about it, but during the day I've realized that isn't really the case. I'm quite keen on hearing what you would say about that story, I'd like to share it in a late response to your question.
Oh, please.
A fear of hatred and prejudices towards Jews, which I encounter eventually, being a Jew in here. And mainly, it's more than it's an everyday experience. It's more the remembrance of events in the past to myself and also to people that I know and read about, and of course the fear of violence and discomfort in the future, which is I find it a challenge to rest with. Mm-hmm.
Your fear of both personal and cultural?
More or less.
Okay. And is this something that is just
underlined?
Subtle? A subtle fear?
I would say, probably, yeah.
Is it something you think about every day?
More or less.
It is.
Every other day.
Uh-huh, so it isn't so subtle.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not sure about the subtle.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. These kinds of fears of oppression by governments or other people, or even extermination by governments or other people, are points of view that really cause a lot of suffering. And, that's very, very clear. And whenever we have an intense feeling, and of course that is definitely an intense feeling, the feeling of that kind of oppression or even extermination, especially when it's so fresh historically that it's happening today. That's very fresh, so it's very real. And so to just rest when that comes up rather than go into memories, like a flood of memories or stories, to rest as that when it comes up. And then to also look into it, Because anything we think of like that, it has an ultimate sense as well as this relative or historical or cultural or personal sense. And so if we asked ourselves, for example, well, what is the ultimate oppression? What is the ultimate extermination or annihilation? What would you say?
The ultimate... I don't know. What comes in mind is to oneself always relating to it in that way. To always relate yourself to the possibility of extermination, the possibility of violence due to the tradition.
Oh, uh-huh. So to have that as a point of view that causes ongoing fear. Yeah.
Because then it doesn't matter if there is an actual threat or if something's actually happening. We just keep it up.
This is very good. This is true with all points of view. You know? So this is really true with all points of view. And when we look at ultimate extermination, when we totally abandon ourselves, and don't realize what our true identity is, then we, in a sense, exterminate ourselves, our sense of our own true identity. So sometimes to look into things in terms of what is ultimate with the things we're examining is very, very powerful in terms of being able to rest. And, you know, it's actually good to get very stirred up about atrocities. To be very stirred up emotionally about atrocities. This is a good quality, by the way. It's a very good quality. Because especially today, many people are very numbed by horrific events because there are so many of them. And to be so in touch with that it's very important and it's very powerful. And it's also a very amazing doorway to compassion, to be able to feel that deeply. So it's really great that you're in touch with that, because a lot of times there isn't really being in touch with that. And it's true for you, but it's true for everyone too. And, you know, living in this particular age where there's so much terrorism, it's particularly true. It doesn't any longer apply to just one group of people, it applies to everyone. Yet with Jewish people, this is just, you know, so fresh. It's so fresh, not only World War II, but everything going on right now. It's very clear and fresh. Plus there's a very anti-Semitic attitude in many parts of the world. But all of this has kind of flooded out and pervaded a lot of other groups now. You know, there's a lot of anti-Muslim activity and anti-Christian activity. And these are very, very overt and growing in proportion in terms of how horrific they are and the potential for horror. So you see, to really be able to rest as that horror, it's really profound. It is really profound, because guess what? We're all in the same boat. So, you know, if we don't allow ourselves to rest as that complete horror and vulnerability that's possible today, this moment, then in some way we reject what's going on, we avoid it, we apply an antidote, and those antidotes are usually numbing out and just kind of ignoring it. And the other is getting very aggressive and dominating other people in order to not really rest as the horror, rest as the total vulnerability. It's very good to bring up all kinds of deeply personal points of view like this in a group. Do you have something more you'd like to ask about that?
Not really. I mean, it's not, I mean, I can clearly see, I mean, that it's a point of view, and, you know, that one should, that I should rest with it, as a rest as it, you know, and that's been clear for, you know, for many, many hours now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, most of the points of view is like really quite easy to perceive, oh, that's, I can rest with that, I can rest as that, that's not point. This one is to see myself in a situation where this points of view get triggered, where I feel threatened, or that something, someone says something, or it feels, it would be hard to rest in that situation. That's just the feeling that I have, that's why I brought it up.
The feeling that you have right now? Uh-huh.
Yeah, to rest then, that would be swell.
Uh-huh. Well, that is possible, as you will see. Many times when we have very, very powerful emotional states about something, it's some kind of calling or passion, you know, that we have. But while we're totally distracted by the emotion, we don't have any power to do anything about it. By resting as awareness and not letting the memories just flood out in all directions, then we stay put in the power of awareness. And from awareness, more and more lucidity and clarity comes about. And then we can see how to take non-emotional action, and an action that is very powerful, and we can think of all kinds of things to do that would have never come about as long as we allowed ourselves to be overwhelmed. Yeah. We see where getting carried away by emotionality leads. It's very evident in the world today, isn't it?
Say something about all points of view manifest in whatever manner they have been defined. Perhaps all in that respect to the state.
Uh-huh, exactly. Yeah, if we have a story about something, it could be what you so sensitively described, or it could be anything, other horrors of our life, whatever they might be, memories. And so say that we've had something happen to us when we were a child, or in some other situation where we were a victim of violence somehow, and then just an erratic event can trigger that, and you know, out of the blue, all of a sudden we're flooded with memories about this thing that happened. And maybe what triggered it has nothing whatsoever to do with the memory. It could be that. And this is what it means to define something. It means to let that story go and just let it run out and tell all its tales. And that's what it is to define experience. When we rest as awareness, we don't flood out into the distraction in the story about the appearance. Do you have something more about that, Michael?
So do I understand this correctly? Like we create our world in a sense by first creating an image, a perception, and then it's kind of more or less materialized.
That's what we see. It never really materializes, it seems to, based on the way we define things. We definitely create our own well-being, whether we have well-being or not, in that sense. Yeah.
I sit a bit with, say, don't act. And it's a very long question, anyway. But if you don't act, I mean, I see you act also in many things. And where do I know where to act and not to act?
There's no way to stop everything that's occurring, so I've never said don't act. What I've said is rest as awareness and grow in clarity and lucidity. And as you grow in clarity and lucidity, what flows out of that will be more and more powerful in terms of it really being a wonderful solution for everyone involved.
So I've had this really strong thing with decisions. And some years ago, I really got panic many times when I had to take a decision.
A position or a decision?
Decision.
Uh-huh.
To choose which way to go, to choose something. I could really get in panic and just start crying and scream.
Oh, uh-huh, sure.
Yeah. And now it's much easier, and still it's really like, it's so hard for me to know where to go, where to put my focus, and what to do, what to act. And if I rest with it, I have the feeling of, yeah, but I've been like this 7 years now. How long shall I wait for? how long can I rest?
How long can you rest, did you say?
Yeah, or it's just this action. I want to move. I want to find my focus so I can have...
What are you trying to find a focus about?
It's like life is so full of things that I love to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of... So I'm spreading out a lot. Doing many things,
mm-hmm.
and not really deepening into anything. And in our society, it's like if you focus on something, then some money starts to come. Yes, you bring focus, and you can say I'm doing this, and then there is income or something. And I don't do that, so it's like I'm giving a lot in many directions, and I don't see that's like. I see a lot of love and appreciation coming back, and I don't know really how to vary my own economy or go make my life more solid.
Getting you some money, in other words.
Yeah, that's one thing, but also willing to know where to live and who to work with and all these things.
Well, that's the dilemma, isn't it? Yeah. It's in order to build a building that'll stand up, it has to have a good foundation. Without a good foundation, the building will not stand. And so what's more important than anything is to build the foundation. And the foundation of good decisions is rooted in awareness. In being totally grounded in awareness. When there's groundedness in awareness, there's no thinking about decisions. The decisions just flow out of wisdom. So you see, it's complete release from the confusion of thinking that all these decisions need to be made. as wisdom comes about, there's just extreme clarity about what you're supposed to be doing. But that can only come from this foundation of awareness. And so I would suggest just making that foundation as strong as you can, because it'll support you throughout your life, not only just now.
I'm curious, it's like, because I also see many decisions are happening, so, but I'm curious that is this it's hard to explain. Yeah, in this society with calendars and planning, so how do you know where you're going to be in half the year? Can you tell that from just without making decisions?
Well, anything I say to you, you'll be receiving it just from what you can understand about me or, you know, about you. So you see, it doesn't really matter what's going on with me. It matters what's going on with you. Now, I don't have any problems with decisions. So, and you know, the more restful awareness there is that's present, all that's present is the complete willingness to benefit the whole and complete service to the benefit of all that is very natural and extremely focused. And from within that, everything that is needed appears. So there's no concern about decision making or where money is going to come from or anything like that. So you see, this is a far different way of living than having cultural attitudes about work and money or personal attitudes about work and money. And this is all rooted in awareness. It's rooted in getting familiar with awareness. So, you know, obviously, Great Freedom is a worldwide organization, and I provide leadership as a servant to that organization. And so that I do gladly and happily, and it's an honor and a privilege. And of course, because we do have a worldwide organization and a very large organization, it requires all the things that any good business would require. However, in our organization, we're able to work together effortlessly and in mutual support of each other to benefit everyone everywhere. And you see, all this really does come about effortlessly. So, you know, we may make a plan, but we're not attached to any result. And our focus is laser-like. And all this comes from resting as awareness. It's not something that's cut out from ordinary life or doing things using powerful structures. We're enabled to make even more powerful structures, build more powerful structures and organizations of human beings by resting as awareness. Now, you know, today and many organizations, when we go to an organization, we want to belong, but there's always the threat that we won't belong and we'll be kicked out. So, you know, this is just one of the principles by which human beings organize themselves, unfortunately. But you see, in Great Freedom, because our founding principles come out of resting as awareness, no one is ever excluded. We don't. No one can ever be asked to leave. Ever. Not for any reason. So you see, that can't even be seen as possible as long as there's just this soft, blurry focus of points of view. So I'm just giving these as a few examples of the power of resting as awareness, and that with that strong foundation, a very sound structure can rise above it.
Thank you.
What do you like to do more than anything? Do you have any dreams or a passion or about one thing?
About one thing. Then I have to choose one.
Like a big dream?
I have this dream to spread clarity and love.
Mm-hmm. That's a great one. And what's the foundation of that? Dream. What is the foundation of it? What do you have to have in place in order to have that dream flourish?
Uh-huh. That's the thing. When I've been traveling,
mm-hmm.
it's just there, and I don't worry about money or anything. It's just happening. I'm not afraid. And when I'm at home, then all these things come.
The foundation of your dream is love and clarity. So in order to spread love and clarity, it requires that you be completely grounded in love and clarity. And that's equal to gaining complete familiarity with awareness. This will support you tremendously. Understanding is okay, however, it can never be understood completely. So say awareness is this big, and there's a teeny pinpoint called understanding. That couldn't even get close to understanding the whole. Understanding, what is understanding based on? It's based on putting together a lot of different points of view, each of which don't have an independent nature. So, by resting this awareness, then the whole illusion collapses.
I could not resist. I put in my letter that I don't ask any more philosophical questions because I know it not come from this. No, I just have to relax, and then I can feel come from something else. But and then, you know, when you start to put this, I feel like, I don't know, I just come and then it's...
Well, yeah, it's fine to explore these things in a certain way. There's no need to not do that. It's important to have questions answered, but eventually there aren't any more questions. None. Wow, huh?
Resting in awareness and resting in stillness, is the same or...?
No.
What is different?
Stillness is a point of view. It needs a point of view to give it a conceptual support. Resting as awareness, it's awareness that's aware of stillness. Awareness is equally aware as stillness as it is as noisiness. So stillness is just a point of view. Awareness is the source of everything, including stillness. There'd be no stillness without awareness. It's the root. However, to try to get into stillness might seem a lot better than what's been going on. To achieve some kind of stillness might feel a lot better than the other points of view that have been going on, but it's still a point of view. There's nothing to hold on to anywhere. Even stillness. But that should be a big relief, actually. There's no reason to replace one kind of hell with another kind of hell, even if it looks like a better hell. So you see, if we try to get into special states like stillness, non-conceptual states, thoughtlessness, or whatever it might be, getting rid of all our negative thoughts and emotions, then all we have created is another structure, another conceptual structure, even if it feels a lot better than the one we had. Also, from stillness, as long as there's a commitment to being in stillness or a non-conceptual state or whatever you might want to call it, for just that long, there will be no powers of wisdom. The powers of wisdom never come from conceptual frameworks or conventional ideas. They only come from that which is not bound to any concept, adopts no extreme. Anything can be appearing, and that's what it is. It's the non-arising vastness of everything that is, and it doesn't have any particular thing that it is. Once we say it is this, then we've really cut ourselves off from the whole. It's much easier to rest as non-arising vastness than to the awareness that is the root of everything, than to try to grab hold of a position somewhere, even stillness.
What about nirvana? I never understood.
Nirvana?
Yeah, what is that? We spoke about enlightenment.
Oh, that's, you know, this is really a good question, because we have all these terms floating around in the ether, like nirvana, samsara, mara, maya, whatever it might be. Dharmakaya, sambhogakaya, nirmanakaya. An easy way to describe all this would be points of view. So you see, like if you say something like samsara or nirvana, it seems like a thing that has a power of its own, doesn't it? There's this thing, this entity called samsara that's like a big monster stomping around the world, and it can eat people. It can devour them and make them miserable. And so you see, it's much easier to just say negative points of view than to say samsara or neutral points of view. And for nirvana, it's easier to say positive points of view. But even all the nirvanic ideas, there's still points of view appearing within awareness. Awareness is always the root, sublime awareness equal to space itself. That's what is absolute. Now, this is a very penetrating insight, because it makes understanding nirvana and samsara very easy. They're equal, in other words. They're absolutely equal. All points of view are totally equal. Now, you know, there are just different words that are used at different times to describe these things, depending on when people live. Yes, you had something.
But it seems that some point of view are more penetrating than other point of view.
Like what?
For example, nirvana, stillness, everything is more, it can be more penetrating.
Penetrating?
Yeah.
In what way?
More transforming, more helping the human history, human madness.
Well, stillness, it may make you feel better. However, it just depends on what you want. Whether you want stillness, which is a point of view, or whether you want the wisdom powers of great benefit. Whether you want to take it all the way or leave it at stillness. Do you see what I'm saying? People practicing stillness, maybe it will bring about a little bit more equanimity. But it won't bring about wisdom powers of great benefit. because it's a point of view. So you see, it's a fixed idea about something, taking up residence somewhere, saying, this is my home, this is what I believe in. And stillness is far different from nirvana, from what's described of as nirvana in Hinduism, for example, and also in Buddhism. In all the ultimate teachings of Hinduism and Buddhism, they all state samsara and nirvana are equal. All points of view appearing within the non-arising vastness are completely equal. They're non-arising, so nothing ever arises.
But still, some point of view, like nirvana, they are more penetrating. They are more powerful.
Not really. They're just another trap. That's the subtlety, you know. I'm not the only one who's ever said this, by the way. There's no reason to try to get into some kind of state called nirvanic or stillness or non-conceptuality, thought-free. Even to try to contrive compassion and hold on to it, that's all great and good, and it might be better than being a murderer or being mean to everybody. It is better, but it's still a point of view. So, of course, it's good to cultivate well-being and in whatever way one can. But if one wants to rest completely as awareness, then it absolutely requires no reference whatsoever to any point of view. Because all completeness is the spontaneous self-release of here and now. That's all it is. So whatever the absolute is what's right here. It's not in stillness and it's not in nirvana. And the essence of what's right here isn't something called stillness either. It's good to feel better, I agree with that. But it's good to know too what's possible.
But still, a bomb is more negative than being restful.
A bomber. Yes, that's what I just said. But I believe you were thinking when I said it, so you didn't hear me. But that's okay. All states, whatever they are rooted in awareness, so it's extremely important not to get caught in a state. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You see, what has never arisen can't be caught by anything, so there's no state anywhere for it to be caught by. It is everything, so it can't be caught anywhere. It can't be caught by thought or states or emotions or experiences or anything.
Huh? Is what you say, is it that when you are rooted in awareness or resting as awareness, mm-hmm. then from that all good things come, but people tend to get caught in the good things and then want to go to the good things directly, so they don't go to the root of everything.
What is your question?
I was just trying to be clear, to get clear on what you're really telling us, because on the one hand, then, if we refer to what you were talking about this morning, you talked about resting as awareness in this calm, peaceful mind, or whatever you call it.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like a little bit like nirvana, having a good time all the time. And what has been my experience to my own life is that somehow when something good is happening, sometimes we'll lose track of what really generated, and then we'll start getting into things instead of going to the root, which is awareness.
Oh, uh-huh. So you get involved in distractions rather than staying with the root.
Yes, sometimes it's easier to get off the track.
Uh-huh.
Enjoying things that are taking place.
I'm not suggesting not enjoyment. But awareness, the root of everything, aware, pure space, is the complete enjoyment body. It is the complete enjoyment body. So pure enjoyment is in resting as awareness. Now, if you, there are all kinds of things going on in your life that you like to do, that's all part of awareness. The more familiar you become with awareness, the more it's clear that everything is the self-display of awareness. Short moments of resting as awareness repeated many times. That's it. That's the sole practice. There's nothing else to do. There's nothing to refine, nothing to purify, nothing to get rid of. All of the ideas that are taught about egos and individual identities and things like that that need to be gotten rid of, where would those be in a non-dual expanse? Where exactly would they be located? So you see, everything that appears in awareness is just a point of view of that awareness, whether it's the individual or somebody else, or what you enjoy or what you don't enjoy. In gaining familiarity with awareness, it all evens out. And in that, there's just complete clarity that's spontaneously present. Even clarity is a very pale word. Lucidity is a better word, just very refined lucidity. And so then it doesn't matter what's going on. There's just a natural way of being, a totally natural way of being that's completely state-free. And it's a way of being that is an outpouring of wisdom and compassion and playfulness and delight and ease. Yes?
Could you speak a bit more about awareness arising from within points of view? You said that this morning.
Oh, uh-huh.
It's nice, so I'll just start.
Oh, uh-huh, yeah. A lot of times when we're looking for a state to get into, we're just replacing one state with another state, so replacing afflictive states with a better state. And all the while, it's from within whatever state is appearing that the Absolute appears. It appears from within that, so there is an awareness and a point of view. Awareness is appearing from within the point of view itself. They're always inseparable. They can't be divided. It's just in this little trick we play on ourselves that awareness is one thing, and a point of view is another thing. Or that, you know, we're something, or some kind of a thing that needs to put itself into a state. When we start to rest as awareness, these ideas just fall apart completely. They completely fall apart. There's no state to get into, and there's no one to get into it. So that's very easy. If we're spending our whole life being somebody who's trying to get into a state, then, well, we've got two, you know, we've got the someone and they're trying to get into a state. And then we have to have all kinds of contrivances in order to make sure that that's so, like no ego or silence or, you know, whatever it might be. Certain kinds of experiences, certain kinds of circumstances. Whatever the circumstances are, they're A-okay. And awareness is appearing from within them.
So simultaneously, the points of view appear in awareness and vice versa.
Yeah. It's its own dynamic energy. Yeah, it's never been separate.
So in that way, nothing's happening, is it?
No, nothing ever happened.
Thank you.
Nothing ever happened, but in a really fun way. Rather than in a boring way.
I don't know what is this relevance, but maybe it was about the, is it right to say that the awareness is a bunch of points of view?
That awareness is a bunch of points of view?
Yeah.
There's no awareness separate or apart from points of view.
If you take away all points of view, do you take away awareness also?
It's impossible to take away awareness. And in resting as awareness, it's clear that there aren't things called points of view. They're only the dynamic energy of awareness. Yeah. Say, for example, that you said, well, I have points of view and they come one and then there's a gap and then there's another point of view and then a gap and another point of view. And so I'm going to try to stay in the gap. Well, you see, the gap is a point of view too. It's all awareness.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean also.
Yeah.
When I say that awareness is just a lot of bunch of point of view.
Yeah.
And nothing more.
Nothing more. But no one point of view is awareness, nor is a collection of them. See? And this is the importance of not holding to any particular state.
What's the purpose of feeling like we are a human being? Mm-hmm. What's the purpose? Can you tell me?
I certainly can. I've mentioned this to you before.
Yes, but I don't.
What is it?
What's the reason?
That's a good question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let me see if I can remember. Oh yeah. To benefit ourselves and benefit others.
Yes, but it isn't any oneself or another. What?
There isn't. We can't say they exist, but we can't say they don't exist either. So see, there's no place to hold up. You can't say they don't exist or that.
No, I don't follow.
There's nothing to hold on to. But we want to hold on to something just out of habit, just because we've trained ourselves to do that. But, you know, the way that we train ourselves to be in terms of believing that points of view have the power to cause an effect, that's much more difficult than resting as awareness. It's infinitely more difficult than resting as awareness.
But why do we always the same thing? We all pretend to be human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Are we?
Are we?
Yes,
are
maybe
we all
not
pretending?
You, but most of us.
Well, let's put it this way, you know, whoever we are as a human being, we are an expression of whatever it is we believe about being human. And so, in that sense, it's just important to know what the purpose of human life is, and then to get familiar with that by the power of resting as awareness, and then all our questions are answered. So you see, to try to make a philosophy out of it requires getting a publisher.
Thank you.
And then once we make that philosophy out of it, you know, we better be darn sure that we know what we're talking about. Otherwise, we're just going to have an idea we had that then we have to then stand behind the rest of our lives.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
When did it become just so obvious to you that awareness was indestructible? Was it a realization, or how did it come?
Well, to me, it's always been clear that there is something that's indestructible. When I was young, I called it love. And awareness is synonymous with love, synonymous with wisdom. It's synonymous with everything marvelous, you know, and wonderful. And everything, no matter what it is wonderful and marvelous. In terms of my realization of that, where in every thought, movement, action, emotion, thought, that was totally clear all the time 26 years ago.
I think you said something like we're an expression of whatever we think is possible. I'm not sure if the expression was like that. So to achieve great things like to walk on water or whatever, it's just a matter of what you believe is possible.
It's a matter of what we take ourselves to be. But something, you know, like we hear these stories about different powers, like walking on water, the loaves and fishes, or manifesting diamond rings, or whatever it might be. And you, these were never meant to be powers that were displayed for the purpose of their soul display, and that's it. They were never meant to be an end in themselves. They were always meant to be things that would inspire faith and true teachings. So the greatest power that any human being can ever have is the power to not only introduce people to awareness, but to support them in gaining familiarity with awareness to the point of wisdom, powers of great benefit. So those are considered to be the greatest powers, and this has been written about throughout the great tradition for all of humankind. So when we take ourselves to, I wanted to clarify that about powers first. We are the only appearance that can take itself to be whatever we want to be. And so, you know, that's amazing. We as human beings can take ourselves to be whatever we want to be. We can take ourselves to be something that's totally cut off from the absolute, or we can take ourselves to be a state, or like anger, or happiness, or whatever it is. And whatever we take ourselves to be, that's what we spend our life as. So you see, it's just all a matter of the points of view that we believe in about ourselves. That's it. But when we rest as awareness, which is the basis of all of this flow, this dynamic display, then we start to see what we're really made of. And when we see what we're really made of, then these incredible powers become possible. But it's only when we no longer take ourselves to be anything. You know, as long as we're taking ourselves to be this point of view or that point of view, or we need to keep this point of view in place or that point of view in place, no matter how rarefied, then we're continuing the game of taking ourselves to be somebody. Now, you know, here's a kind of a fun way to think about it. Think about awareness as a game. It's this enormous game going on everywhere. And we could call it the game of awareness or pure awareness or the game of superintelligence. And everything that is appearing within the game is part of the game. And also, everyone appearing within the game decides what role they want to play in the game. And they do this of their own volition. That's exactly what's going on. Here. We decide what role we want to play, and then we can take ourselves to be that, whatever it is. And when we start to rest as awareness, then we can see that, wow, you know, the more we rest as awareness, the more we can see what a crazy world it is. Just the whole thing is so crazy and delightful and free of any need to make it into anything. Once we stop trying to make ourselves into something, then we don't make other things into anything either. So all this comes about by going to the root, awareness. Nothing would be known without awareness. Awareness is the capacity to know. So awareness is pure knowledge. There is no knowledge more pure.
If it was, sorry, all up to free will, why would beings choose to adopt painful roles? Choose to, you know, play a part that obviously is painful, suffering. Why would they?
Who knows? Who knows? Rest as awareness and you'll know. You'll know completely. And it won't be so serious, you know, so.
What's the name of the plane?
any name you want to give it, that's what it is. Gary?
Would you like to talk about at all how Great Freedom kind of launched publicly, so to speak? Is that, as far as I know, in the last 4 years, even though your own awareness was much earlier in time, you said almost 26 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Is it just the right time?
Well, yeah. I was teaching for a long time, and I have many very lengthy talks on the internet on this topic, so I'm not going to go into it in depth right now, but I took a trip, and I went a lot of different places where seekers went, and I'd been teaching for a very long time, but in a very private sphere. And so I went out and I took a trip and I went all over and I visited different environments where there were seekers. And I saw many people who were in incredible suffering. And so I found that to be completely intolerable because I knew exactly what it is that worked for people to be completely free of suffering. So then that was it. I had assumed that there were just people everywhere who were bright and free and happy and not seeking. But when I took this trip, I found that that wasn't the case.
Why such a complex city everywhere if awareness is pure and simple? Why do we have complex bodies and nature is complex? And is awareness striving towards something?
No, in awareness there's no striving. And by gaining familiarity with awareness, you will have answers to these questions. As long as we think that everything is something, then we need to describe it forever to prove that it is what it is. So you see, it all comes about through the belief in the independent nature of whatever appears. It's very simple. All-encompassing pure view of awareness, inclusive of all points of view. And all of those points of view have no independent origin or nature.